Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
One of my favorite guests to have on, Austin Meek, columnist at the Eugene Register-Guard, terrific writer, great guy, has his finger on the pulse of the Pac-12 conference, and in particular Oregon and Oregon State. He joins us now. Where are you right now, Austin Meek?
Right now, I am sitting in the Register Guard podcast studio, which is probably not quite as luxurious as yours, but it works.
Yeah, how come you never come here to Portland and sit in the studio with me? It would be fun to see your face down here.
We should do that sometime. That'll be fun. Hey, I'll be in town for the women's tournament. So
let's do it.
Maybe we'll have to make that happen.
Let's do it. Austin, let me ask you, speaking of the women, they go to Vegas this week. I really want Oregon and Oregon State to play each other in Sin City. What do you think? Rubber match.
Yeah, round three. I think that's what everybody thought coming away from that game in Corvallis, is that we really need to see these teams play again. Take a little bit of work to get there. I guess it would have to be in the championship game. The Beavers would have to get past Stanford. But I'm rooting for it. I think it'd be great. It'd be a great thing for the state and that rivalry.
I'd love to see both teams put in the Portland Regional, but it looks like either Oregon State would probably have to just be lights out in Vegas, or maybe completely fall apart for that to happen. What is it going to mean for, you know, Kelly Graves is very likely to be in Portland in that West Regional. Wouldn't have to leave the state of Oregon to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's huge. It's part of the reason why I feel like they'll never have a better opportunity than they're going to have this year, and they really need to take advantage of it. You know, it'd be great if they could win the Pac-12 tournament and get up to a one seed. I think that's still a possibility. They may need a little bit of help from a couple other teams. That would be great for them. You know, if they're playing in Portland as a one seed, then, you know, they're going to be favored over anybody they face. If they're a two seed, you know, see who they end up in the bracket with. They could see Notre Dame again. They could see a team like Mississippi State, who they played in the non-conference. It'd be a little bit tougher path for them as a two seed, but either way, playing so close to home, they're going to have a big advantage in the crowd, and you'd think they'd have a great opportunity to go on to the Final Four.
What have the women's programs in this state figured out that the men's programs haven't?
You know, they got their coaches right, first of all. Both of those guys that they hired in Scott Ruick and Kelly Graves were just a perfect fit for that moment in time. And, you know, I think both of those coaches came in with a really clear plan of how they wanted to do things. And they weren't going to settle and they weren't going to compromise. And they had a lot of faith that it could be done, you know, especially for Scott Ruick, taking over that program in the condition that it was in. You know, you had to dream pretty big to think it would be possible to do what they're doing now. But I think both of those coaches went out and they identified the players that they needed to build their foundation. Oregon State had that nucleus of players that elevated their program to a Final Four level. And I think the nucleus that Oregon has now, there's a really clear parallel with Sabrina Ionescu and Ruthie Hebert and Maite Cazorla. You know, that group has really set the foundation for the comeback of Oregon women's basketball. You can't say enough about the job that those two coaches have done. I know the women's game is a little bit different animal than the men's game, but it's still competitive. You know, recruiting on the women's side, man, it's cutthroat, and those coaches have done an amazing job attracting players that have elevated those two programs to the upper echelon.
Austin Meek, columnist, Eugene Register Guard, is with us. I think in women's basketball, too, you don't have to worry about the one and dones. You don't, you know, Sabrina Ionescu, will she go pro or not, becomes a conversation, but it's not going to kill your program if it happens. I think it would be a simpler place to exist as a coach.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, in the women's game, you sign a player like Sabrina, you pretty much figure that you're going to have her for 4 years. You know, that's a luxury that most men's programs don't have. You know, in the men's game, if you sign Zion Williamson, you know it's going to be a one-year deal. Or you sign Bol Bol, you hope it's going to be a one-year deal, and then it turns into a nine-game deal, right? Sabrina is a generational player. I mean, she's been one of the best players in the game 3 years running, and has completely turned around, you know, the whole culture of the Oregon women's program. It's just not something that you have in the men's game at that level. You know, a player who's that good that you can know is going to be with you for 3 or 4 years.
All right. So the Oregon men's team last week has a great week, blows out the Arizona schools. I sort of think they're a dark horse to win the conference tournament. If somebody off the pace is going to do it in Vegas next week, they could be that team. They also could be out in the first time they suit up. What do you make of them?
Well, you know, I've been fooled by them before, of thinking that they were starting to figure things out, and then the next game they just go out and lay an egg. You know, they had a nice homestand against the Bay Area schools, and then they went out on the road and they got smacked. You know, they got a nice road win against Utah earlier this season, and then they went and played Colorado and got smoked. So, you know, it's hard for me to say that as impressive as they looked in those two home games against the Arizona schools, that they've somehow figured it out, that the light bulb has come on. I don't know. We'll see how they play this week in Washington. You know, if they go out and they win convincingly at Washington State, which they ought to do, and then they hang with Washington, I think I'll go into the Pac-12 tournament feeling like, yeah, they're a team that has a chance to make a run. They just have to find some consistency. You know, they've had some good moments. Dana Altman called that Arizona win their best night of the season. It certainly was their best two-game stretch of the season. So that gives you some hope, but they've still got to string some games together. You know, that's the thing they haven't shown, is that they can play at a high level and sustain it for more than a game or two at a time.
I think there are probably three or four teams that I would think have a shot to win this thing. Am I talking crazy thinking that way, that it's so wide open to win the conference tournament and get that automatic berth that, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Cal beating Washington even.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, how many times in your life have you heard a coach say, our league is so good, anybody can beat anybody? And most of the time when a coach says that, you can completely call BS on it, because in most leagues, that's not true. But in the Pac-12, it actually is true that anybody in this league can beat anybody. If Cal, which is the worst Power 5 team in the world right now, can beat Washington, which is the top team in the Pac-12, then anybody literally can beat anybody. I don't think that's a great compliment. You'd like your best team to not lose against a team as bad as Cal, but that's where the Pac-12 is right now.
Who do you think wins the conference tournament in the men's side and gets that automatic berth? Give me two picks.
Well, you know, I'll give you the safe pick, which is Washington. You know, Washington, I think, still has separated itself as the best team in the Pac-12. But, you know, if there's a team that could make a run, I'll just take a flyer and say I kind of like UCLA, because I think Jalen Hands is the kind of player who could just get ridiculously hot for a 3 or 4 game stretch. You know, we saw that when the Ducks played at UCLA, and I think he had like 29 in the second half. He was just bombing threes from all over the place. UCLA is a really talented team, and they haven't put it together like everybody in the Pac-12, basically. But I think that's a team that could get hot and could win some games.
The conference as a whole, I mean, we've gone into the financials on it, and you and I have talked about this, and we've kicked that all around. But Give me a, what does this conference need? Is there something that the women's basketball conference can provide, or men's basketball can provide, or even the football coaches in this next football season that can provide, that brings real credibility to the conference?
Well, you know, you and I are pretty hard on the Pac-12 for good reason. They give a lot of reasons to be hard on them. One thing that they do right, and I'll give them credit for this, is the Pac-12 basketball tournament in Vegas. It's a great scene. It's a lot of fun. You know, for people who have not been there, it's really worth doing if you're a fan of a Pac-12 team, because it's a great atmosphere. You know, that you've got so much basketball going on in Las Vegas that week. So many fans there. You know, it's just a lot of fun. And if somehow they could bottle that up and they could take that to the rest of what they do, it'd do the Pac-12 a lot of good. You know, I saw today that they're expanding what they're doing with the Las Vegas Bowl. You know, when we were there a couple years ago, wasn't a great memory for Oregon. But I think that Las Vegas Bowl has a lot of potential, especially when they get the new NFL stadium built. So, you know, I think the Pac-12 should look at what it's doing well. It's doing women's basketball really well. Pac-12 women's basketball is great. The men's basketball tournament is great. If they could get a couple football games a year in Las Vegas, I think that'd be great for the Pac-12. They got to look at the things they're doing well. There's not a lot of them, but they got to look at them and they got to try to build on them.
Yeah, as you point out, Brett McMurphy reporting today that the Vegas Bowl starting in 2020 will be SEC/Big Ten against a Pac-12 representative. The LA Bowl at the new NFL stadium in Los Angeles will be a Mountain West Conference team against the Pac-12 beginning in 2020. And the Holiday Bowl affiliation will be Pac-12 versus ACC beginning in 2020. Those are improvements, but you got to get in the playoff, don't you?
Well, sure. Yeah, if you want to be taken seriously, you got to be in the mix for the college football playoff, and that's what's been missing from Oregon and from the Pac-12, I should say. You know, the problem for the Pac-12, the sports where they've done well are not necessarily the sports that give you that national currency. You know, it would be great. I think the game of women's basketball is growing. I think fans are starting to get into it. So that's great for the Pac-12 if more fans are paying attention to women's basketball. But still, football is what drives the bus. And, you know, if Oregon ends up back in the Vegas Bowl playing a team from the SEC, that'll definitely be a bigger deal than when they were playing a team from the Mountain West. But if you're not competing for the college football playoff every year as a league, it's going to be hard to be taken seriously.
I have a theory, and I want to bounce it off you. I don't think every Pac-12 school is in the same boat when it comes to revenue. Clearly, Oregon's got Phil Knight, USC's got a great donor base, so does Washington and Stanford. Is it possible that those entities have an advantage as long as the conference is underfunded versus other Power 5 conferences? Is this an opportunity for those four in particular to maybe rise to the top and take advantage?
I think it is an advantage within your conference. You know, it's not necessarily an advantage when it comes to the college football playoff or the NCAA tournament or some of those. You know, when it comes down to a head-to-head matchup between the Pac-12 and the other conferences, it's not necessarily an advantage. But absolutely, you know, if you're a Pac-12 team like Oregon that has some resources and some advantages that the other Pac-12 schools don't, the Pac-12 is not giving you a level playing field for all the 12 schools. You know, a school like Oregon State, maybe, that doesn't have some of the advantages that Oregon has, they can't go to the Pac-12 and say, bail us out, because the Pac-12 isn't doing it. You know, so what it means is, you know, those schools that maybe don't have a Phil Knight that can, you know, can endow some of their athletic programs, they got to work harder. And those schools at the top, you know, it doesn't hurt Oregon as much as it hurts some other schools not to be getting that revenue from the Pac-12. Oregon would still like to have it. They can still point to, you know, something like Mike White leaving for Texas and say, well, you know, Texas is getting all this media revenue that we're not getting. we couldn't pay Mike White as much as Texas could. I don't know if that's true or not. I think there's a little bit of spin on that. But to some extent, it's true. A school like Oregon, they should never feel like they're at a disadvantage compared to the other Pac-12 schools, because I think they are in a position to offset some of the conference's struggles with some of the inherent advantages that they do have.
We're talking to Austin Meek, Eugene Register Guard sports columnist. Before I cut you loose, Melissa Lombardi and that softball program, I had them left dead to rights. They started the season with some momentum. What happened there?
You know, I think they were a team that was a little bit overmatched, maybe running on a little bit of adrenaline early in the season, probably had some pent-up frustration from that offseason that they were taking out on some of those teams they played early on. I think they got a little bit of a reality check this last weekend. I think they were 0-3, played some good teams. You know, I think I'm actually a little bit encouraged by how they played. I know they had a rough week, but I think that being picked last in the Pac-12 was probably a little bit of an overreaction. I think based on what we've seen so far, they'll probably be a middle-of-the-pack team in the league. They're certainly not going to, you know, certainly not going to be the team that we're used to seeing, a team that, you know, is competing for the College World Series. I think they're going to be okay. But man, they don't have a lot of depth. They basically have one pitcher. You know, they've got no bench, so they're going to have some rough nights. But you know, they've shown that they can play with some people.
Most enjoyable sporting event that you could imagine taking your family to on campus at Oregon? Where would you take them?
Well, I would have said before this year, I would have said softball. You know, it was great. I mean, that was such a great atmosphere. But right now, if I was going to take them anywhere, I'd take them in a couple weeks to the women's basketball tournament. Those first two rounds at Matthew Knight Arena, that's going to be awesome. They was there last year, and it was such a great environment. You know, it's just, even though, you know, it feels kind of like an Oregon home game, but when it's the NCAA tournament, it also just, you know, it just feels a little different. It feels a little bigger. So, you know, anybody in Eugene, if you got kids, check out those tournament games because they're a lot of fun.
All right, Austin, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for making time for us, as always.
All right, thanks, John. See you in Vegas.
All right, there he is, Austin Meek, Eugene Register Guard. Great follow on Twitter. Also, read him on the Register Guard website. Leave it here. Our 2 at 2 is coming up. Our 2 at 2 coming up. It's the two most important things going on in the world of sports. Also, the best thing that happened today. It's a new installment. I love it. Peter Sampson, you were like, hey, what is this best thing that happened today? Is there a benchmark for that?
Yeah, I got to know, man.
Well, if we had music for it, what would we use? What would be great music for the best thing that happened today?
Don't worry, be happy.
Could do that. Let me see if that fits. Alabama Adriana would probably want to weigh in here, given that she is our resident music person. Let me see about Don't Worry, Be Happy. Let me see how it goes. The best thing that happened today. Be okay. What do you like instead of that?
Well, I like that. I need a second to think.
How about this? How about here's another nominee. How about we do something like this? A little more dynamic. Because that's kind of, I think of about a guy riding his bicycle down the street and he's got a basket on his bike when I hear that song. How about something like this? The best thing that happened today.
I came to dance. That's going to be a no for me.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
Do you know why I like that song? Have I ever told you that story?
Because of Vegas.
Las Vegas a few years ago. Okay, I'll tell you this story for listeners. Let me cut that off. This is a better story. So a few years ago, I go to Las Vegas with Anna. And when I went to college, those pool parties, that day drinking thing that you guys do, your generation, we didn't do that. Okay, we went out at night. At least we didn't call it day drinking. We call it a tailgating, and there happened to be a football game going on. But the casinos have figured out that young people weren't necessarily gambling. They tried to create a revenue stream around the pool. So they do the, you know, the pool parties, the cabanas, the music. And then they said, how about exclusivity? We could even upsell into it. So they create a VIP area of the pool area at the Vegas casinos. And if people have been to Las Vegas, you have seen this. Well, we were staying at the time a few years ago. I think it was the Venetian. And they got a great pool. I loved it. It was awesome. But on the far end of the pool area, and the pool area is like acres and acres and acres of swimming pool and drinking and places to lay in the sun. And that's great in the spring, especially when you're from Oregon. But way down at the end of the pool area, there was a hedge that was probably 15 feet tall, lush, green hedge that sort of blocked off a private VIP pool area. There was velvet ropes, red carpet, bouncer there. So we meandered down, in part because I could hear this playing behind the hedge. I came to dance, 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 dance. I hit the floor because that's my plan. And I'll never forget, because I wasn't just hearing this song. I was hearing the sound of people splashing in the pool. Sounded to me like it would be like women on the shoulders of men, everybody bronze skin, beach balls in the air. Everybody like holding a pitcher of beer, not just a glass. Okay, you with me? So, of course, I dragged Anna down to the entrance of this VIP pool area, and I said to her, hey, let's go in there and see what this is about. And the guy at the door said, yeah, you guys can come in. He let us in, and lo and behold, behind that hedge, it was exactly what I imagined and had fantasized that it would be. It was like everyone was beautiful. There were people on people's shoulders. There was water being splashed in the air. There were people holding pitchers of beer. So in the deep dark of winter here in Oregon, never mind that I was the oldest person behind that hedge. Never mind that people kept coming up to me and going, it's so cute that you guys are in here. Like I was 80 years old or something. It's a good memory for me. But you don't like that song? Do you have one, though? Do you have one you like that potentially for our best thing that happened today?
Maybe Beyonce or something?
Let me see if we got a Beyonce. I don't know. Sometimes I have so much stuff in here. How about... You know the song I keep coming back to? The best thing that happened today.
That's like sad music.
Leo, he said don't let go. She said I'll never let go, and then she let go. It's crap. What else? What else we got? We want a happy song. Tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Alabama Adriana will come up with something. I also think that like some of the sports, typical sports arena music is always good. What do you got? You got something?
Yeah, I remembered the Because I'm Happy song by Pharrell.
Okay. Do you have it queued up?
I can pull it up.
Let me think. I got some other music that I can try in the meantime. How about this one? Let's see about this. There you go. How about this one? Best thing that happened today on the Bald Face Truth. I like that. What do you guys think?
I don't know if it works for that segment though.
That works for anything. That's the song you should wake up to every day.
Yeah, this should be the new show open, shouldn't it? And now!
Yeah, see, we could get into that. What else? You got it? All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Yeah, Yeah, you can't be you can't be unhappy hearing that. I like that. Yeah, so far that's my pick. All right, you can fade that down. How about this one, too?
You can't touch this.
Does that work?
You can't touch this.
It's an oldie, but a goodie for you.
You can't touch this.
How about this one? It's like 1982 right now.
Full-on montage song, yeah.
How about this one?
Yeah.
Best thing that happened today. I like that.
Best thing that happened to me today is I got some Marky Mark in my life.
We can even go a little more throwback. Best thing that happened today. No? Kind of works, though. Like, are you not paying attention?
I am paying attention. I like my choice the best.
Yeah, I mean, I probably do, too, but...
I think it works.
I think it might just be our age, man.
No, look, listen. Here, this is how we do it. Best thing that happened to you. There it goes. Best thing that happened today. Best thing
that happened today.
Leave it right here. The 2 and 2 is next. You got the ball face tree.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.